love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and an addiction medicine specialist.
Oh, buddy, I don't know how to tell you how different tonight's been for me. Because usually Adam comes in here. Chris, back me up on this. Adam usually comes in here. It's like, Oswaldo, you start screaming at the carpenter, screaming at Oswaldo, right. Screaming at everybody. And tonight there was something different. He was like, had his hand over his eyes. Long pauses where he wasn't talking. And I thought, what? I got up to see what the matter was. Like, oh, my God.
Broken.
And a female voice off in the distance.
Wow. Yeah.
Broken. Faint hint of a whip.
No. That was my realtor. I was on the phone with.
Did I not give you that? It was one of the choices.
Right. Yep. You pansy.
Yeah.
It was one of the choices.
Well, I'm trying to rent my house out.
Yeah.
It's just everything something.
So it was about a house.
Okay. Yeah, about a house.
Oh, no, it's about the house. It's about the realtor wanting money for doing nothing. But
everyone wants
to you.
Something.
Your dad's selling the house to you.
Everyone wants something. What a day. I had an eclectic day. I saw Drew this morning over at the Beverly Wilshire, Beverly Regent Hotel. Was called the Beverly Wilshire when I used to clean the carpets over there.
That's so funny.
I made my triumphant return to the Grand Trinon Ballroom where I used to clean the carpets. Like MacArthur returning to the Philippines to take the stage there and stare at the carpet I once cleaned with...
I was probably didn't urinate on it or something. I'm really surprised. I take a big dump on it or something.
I should have. I yelled at the carpet to kiss my ass. Used to when I used to clean carpets when I was 18 or 19. That was one of our accounts, and that place, it's like a giant ballroom.
Yeah,
we take a giant ballroom, and by the way, they've modified it a little bit. They put a stage up. They put some stuff. They did some
stage. Wasn't there? Oh no, that stage was just there for the.
It was a wide. Yeah, when you remove all the stage and rigging and chairs and everything, it just looks like a football field worth of carpet for you, Orlando and. Everlast to clean with a 7-inch wand. It's awesome. But anyway, it was nice to see Drew. Well, not really. I walked right past him.
Yeah, you said three words to me.
All right. But there was Drew. And then I went to do the Bernie Mac show.
Yeah.
And that was nice.
I bet that's fun.
Well, you know, it's kind of cool because I realize what ruins sitcoms is the audience. Because you have to go out there, hit your mark, deliver your stuff sort of out to the audience, and you can't vary or deviate from the script.
This doesn't have that, right?
No, this is shot without an audience.
Right.
So what you get to do is you get to sit there and have fun with it and riff and try it a few different ways, and they cover it, and you do it five times, but you do it different every time, and they cover it with three or four cameras, and then you have your thing.
Perfect.
It's so much better. Oh, my God.
What'd you play?
I had a sports talk show along with Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is an amazing character, by the way. I like him, though. First off, I like an athlete who's overweight or who was overweight during his career, and especially basketball. It's not like the guy's a pro bowler.
Right.
You know how hard it is to play like 44 minutes a night and maintain that weight?
It's good times.
He had to eat like the dining car of a train every day. You know, for a 260-pound guy to run up and down the court as much as he runs up and down the court.
It's a big deal.
And still maintain that spare tire around your gut, that takes some work.
As you know, that's Jane's.
Of course. And that's another thing. It always chaps my hide, Drew. When everyone's talking about fad diets and fad this and this that, you know, Manute Bol is 7'6", and he's being, you know. Think about every guy in the NBA.
Yeah.
Think about the builds they have.
Yes.
Whether it's, you know, Nick Van Exel, a smaller guy, or Shaq, or Jordan, whoever it is. Larry Bird. Larry Bird looked like an out-of-shape white guy his entire career, pretty much.
Yeah.
Charles Barkley was sort of flirting with obesity his entire career.
How is he now?
He's
frankly obese?
He's done flirting with obesity. He's got to third base. Obesity's finger-banging him now. No, he's put on a couple pounds. But my point is Charles Barkley you know, here's a guy who could just jam the basketball. You know, he wasn't that tall a guy.
Yeah. He's pretty tall, though. He's like 6'7" or something.
No, no. He's 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, okay, all right.
Which is yeah, good tall, by our standards, but not necessarily by NBA standards, but right. just could box out like no one's business and had right. a pretty good vertical leap
right.
for a big, heavy-set guy. But that's all you need to
heavy
know, everybody. Heavy set.
Stocky.
Well, I don't know what to call him. He's such a great athlete. Yeah. You can't call him anything. But right. I mean, here's the thing.
Big.
All you people are thinking about, you know, these diets and these exercise and this and, you know, getting on these pills, the ab stimulator and all this kind of stuff. Just think of every guy in the NBA. Think of all the exercise they do and think how they look exactly the same almost from the rookie season to the day they retire.
Right.
All the running in the world did not change Charles Barkley's shape. And if he was with somebody, there was an aerobic exercise. That's the key. And by the way, he's not just doing jingle jangles up and down the thing. I mean, he's playing at a level that's beyond belief. I mean, the kind of intensity that's going on out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be in incredible shape to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And he looks the same.
Yeah.
Still has a gut on him.
There you go.
What are you going to do?
Just his shape.
I know. All right. And Jordan, that was
that's
just
his shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. But great guy and a great ball player, obviously.
Were you just with him or you would get Bernie Mac and all that?
It was me, Charles Barkley, and Bernie Mac, and we're doing like a sports talk show, sort of a best damn sports show kind of thing. And we're just riffing and vibing and going back and forth. And those guys have a good sense of humor and they like to F around and all that. So and it's nice, by the way, when the directors and whoever realizes these guys are probably all at their best just going off the script and screwing around, so they let us go. Also, it's season four over there, which season one, everyone's on pins and needles.
Right.
There's always a bunch of network guys pacing around on cell phones, and everyone's freaked out. This ain't that. This is just season four. We're successful. We're cruising. Let's enjoy. All right, Drew, what'd you do? You went to the upfronts.
Then had some meetings. Do you have a talk? LA, what's it called?
Oh.
It's LA Town Hall.
No. Yeah. No, I thought you meant like your spare tire or something.
No, I actually gave a talk.
Toaster oven.
Yeah.
You actually spoke to people this time.
Yeah.
Oh, you're building up.
That's nice.
What'd you talk to them about?
Addiction. Surprise.
Shocking.
Yeah. Right. Shocking.
Here's something that I found interesting. Not that I'm not interested in your talk, but we'll hear enough of that tonight. Remember last night I was going way out of my way to...
I woke up thinking, beg your pardon.
Yes, hold on.
You
woke up what?
Don't keep finished. I went, that was Tourette's.
I went way out of my way last night talking about the stripper called in, and I said, you know, let me select some songs for your dancing, and I kept talking about MacArthur Park.
Yes,
as a very obscure, bizarre '60s song. I can't even think of Rex Harrison. Wasn't Rex Harrison. Maybe it was Rex Harrison.
You said Rex Harrison. Yeah.
Anyway, Donna Summer also sung the song, but I was. I was just coming up with the name, the title, MacArthur Park.
Never heard you say that before, by the way.
Yes, it's the most sort of bizarre out there. Nobody under 50 would ever dream of playing that song or hearing that song or singing that song. I was watching American Idol tonight, and the most popular chick on there, Carrie Underwood, comes on out, busts into MacArthur Park. I thought, wow, that is...
You're channeling last night. And I woke up thinking about the blowhole thing.
Yeah.
Going, whoa, that something happened there. That's not right.
Drew and I had a serious blowhole moment last night in the show.
Yeah.
And how'd that go again, Drew?
I can't remember what you referenced, but you were talking about going to violate the blowhole of a whale.
I was talking about, here's what I was talking about. I know this sounds shallow of me, but, you know, when they do those nature films, there used to be a certain etiquette in nature films where they would show them fighting, and once in a while they'd show them effing,
right?
Not too often. Mm-hmm. It was more about the bull walrus, and they'd show them fighting. They didn't show them effing.
That's fair.
Now, if there's any homosexual behavior between them, they show that too. And as a guy, I'm really creeped out by it, even on the animal level. And I know it sounds ridiculous, but I was watching. It was like I was watching a special on killer whales, and I love killer whales. One of the reasons I love killer whales, this has got the word killer right in their title, number one.
And whale number two.
Number two, whale. Number three, They do things that other animals don't do. One is, one kicked the ass of a great white shark, which was awesome. I mean, how many animals on the planet say, yeah, I give a nice smackdown on the great, it was about 19-footer. I give it a good ass whooping. You know what I mean? That's a badass animal
there. Yeah, that's good.
Number one. Number two, they do that thing where at the Marine World where they push a guy up in the air and throw him up
in
the
air.
That's nice. I like that. Number three thing I like, when they train their cubs to hunt, the mama one will go find like a seal, stun it with her tail, and then fling it back at her cub, and the thing will just go sailing through the air and like practically land on the cub, and the cub will like play with it for a while. Meanwhile, the seal's all busted up and is trying to swim back to shore. Mama goes around and gets it again, tosses it with its tail back again.
Wow.
You know, like it's toying with its prey and teaching its cub to hunt. Many things I like about the killer whale. One thing I found out I didn't like watching this documentary is a lot of the male killer whales like to get together, rub on each other in a sort of weird sexual way with erections.
12-foot erections?
No, 9-foot.
9-foot.
The point is it's weird. It's like finding out. It would be like if you're a big Packers fan, you found out Brett Favre was gay. Be like, I know, I still like him, but dude, I feel weird now. I feel a little violated when I find out one of the animals I look up to is gay. But killer whale, gay. Should have known it. Killer, kind of a gay name. But the point is I was freaked out by it, and I was explaining to Drew last night that they moved around with the erections and rubbed on each other, but they didn't fill any blowholes,
right?
Basically, was what I said. Or something like that.
And I think you said something about, you followed on with something about wanting to fill a blowhole or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I said, "Well, wait a minute. That was the Family Guy tonight. There was a random, and you know how sometimes there's a cut to some random Peter comment,
right,
about him violating the blowhole of a. That's why he can't go back to Marineland.
Wow.
Yeah.
All coming around, everybody.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you ready to rock?
Here you go.
All right, Megan.
Yes.
What's happening?
Hi.
Hey.
Okay. My problem. It's kind of embarrassing. I think sometimes hemorrhoids. I'm not really too sure. And I've never had it checked out, but I've had this problem ever since the first time I had anal sex. But it seems like even when the soreness and the irritation comes and goes, which I think is hemorrhoids, even like every single time that I go number two, it hurts extremely bad. Mm. And I don't.
Why haven't you had this checked out?
I don't know. It really didn't get bad until the last 3 months. Before that, it was...
Let's just say that it's not normal to have pain every time you have a bowel movement. Look, there can be fissures. You can have an inflammatory bowel disease. Mm. You could have tears. You could have abscesses. All kinds of things can be going on down there. And some of it can be caused by anal sex. So how about we get that checked out? Some of it can be quite serious.
You just had the anal sex one time?
Really, like maybe 3 times, maybe.
She said since the first time it's hurt.
Yeah.
She's had it more than more than one
what
time.
A
That's
trooper.
A commitment, yeah. Huh?
Yeah. Talk about low self-esteem. Awesome.
No. It didn't hurt.
Oh, yes,
bad.
Yes.
It didn't hurt first time.
Yeah, not that bad. Not
I
that
see.
Bad.
No. Wait,
yeah.
Wait,
that bad.
Low self-esteem.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Young people, old people, all people, really reluctant to get their ass checked out. But especially, I think, women... And,
yeah, but
and
women are being, they get it gets checked out when they're up in the stirrups.
Oh, it does?
Uh-huh.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it's sort of used to it.
Why? What do they do? Why? It's like one of those car things. As long as the car's up on the rack, we're going ahead and check the rotors.
Even more so, it's like you're looking at the other side of the car. You're going to leave parts of it out while you're going past?
Well, I don't know. If I was up there for, let's say, a brake job and I saw the guy effing with the transmission, I might be surprised.
No, but let's say there was a giant hole in the oil pan or something. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't miss it.
Drew named an auto part, everybody.
Impressive.
Awesome. Giant hole.
Some sort of rip or something.
All right.
Some dent or something.
All right.
You might not do anything about it, but you'd see it.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Are we talking about cars now? I'm getting confused.
Well,
Megan?
Metaphorically speaking.
I see. All right, so why don't you go throw yourself up on the rack and see if you can let Mr. Goodwrench see what the problem
is.
Right.
Meantime, you might want to get some Anusol cream, but don't not get checked.
Anusol? Oh, that's down there. Oh, I'm thinking of Ambisol.
No, Anusol.
Yeah, again.
He's got anus right there in the name.
I know, but they don't do anus. They do Anusol.
Anus.
Yeah, but it's like you're calling, it's like, you know what? It's Annie Saul's like you're picking up a Jewish softball team. I'll have and you and Saul, you come over here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you're in a Jewish softball league.
And you and Saul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uniroyal. I can see the commercial now. And you, Saul.
Yeah. All right. What?
All playing softball.
All playing softball.
Here we go. Keep going.
All right. So she should go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah.
Something I find interesting that Drew always tells me, which leads me to believe he only has a couple of movements a week, which is, here's how I can always tell Drew's schedule with everything, because I've said to him many times, I always heard that having three movements a day as opposed to one every 2 days is a good thing. And Drew said, absolutely not. That's just your schedule.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with anything else.
They're just, but reason it out. What could have, what?
Well, I'll tell you the reason, and I think this is probably what people do, is they assume, and maybe rightfully so, I don't know, that the people that are doing three a day are having a better diet. They're eating more roughage or something like that.
Mm-mm.
But that's true. I mean, if you eat celery stalks as opposed to brisket, you'll probably go more often.
Larger amounts, but not necessarily more often. Not necessarily. Yeah, you're sort of right.
I think I've found through personal anal experience that you go camping and just eating like beans and pork and beans and stuff like that, a couple days, you can make it. You start drinking a bunch of carrot juice and that kind of stuff. You get fast tracked from a BM standpoint.
Yeah, certain stuff is faster.
Yeah, I like that. Sounds like corporate talk. BM fast track.
Put that BM on fast track.
Let's go. And you and Saul and BM, you're on fast track. Let's go now. All right, Chris.
Let's break it down.
Here we go.
Hello?
Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Chris?
Yes.
See, they want us to take calls, Drew. They really do.
I know.
But then this is what happens.
I know, these callers.
A minute ago, we're laughing it up, living in the lap of luxury, talking about BMs and fast tracks.
And
go ahead,
Saul.
Chris.
Okay, all right, I live in Wyoming. I'm having kind of a problem. For the last 2 weeks, I have, every time I go to the bathroom,
What happens, Chris? It burns.
All right, his phone line's bad. It's going to drive me nuts. His penis burns when he goes to the bathroom.
That's a classic sexually transmitted disease symptom.
Yeah.
Again, why aren't you getting that checked out? If, let's say it is, well, any sexually transmitted disease that causes urethritis, which is what you're describing, an inflammation of the urethra, that's what causes the burning, will have complications if you don't get it treated. You can get into the prostate, into the epididymis. If it's gonorrhea, it can cause an arthritis a lot of people aren't aware of.
Mm.
So all kinds of things can happen. Go get this checked out. It's treated with a single dose of an antibiotic. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Break it down.
Hey, let's go. No bigger red flag raised in the venereal disease department
that
than
hurts
pain with urination.
For
right?
a male especially.
All right. Now, what if you didn't have any sex?
Then it could be just a urinary tract infection or sort of a urethritis caused by non-sexually transmitted bacteria. In either case, needs to be taken care of.
Okay. Katie.
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
Hold on, I'm taking you off speakerphone. Well,
I am
19, and my boyfriend and I have been together since we were pretty young, and we are starting to get into very out there kind of things, like I will do him with a strap-on dildo, we'll do, like, strangulation-type things.
You can just say strap-on, by the way. We don't picture strap-on.
There you go.
Spatula or strap-on corkscrew or strap-on turkey baster. I picture a dildo when I hear strap-on.
Everything was perfectly
reading glasses. Yeah.
Where did you and he meet?
Actually, we went to the same high school, and he was a year older than me.
Oh.
But you weren't, like, in the same foster care or something?
Me? In foster care? Oh, no. No. We just went to the same high school.
All right. Foster care high.
Well, we went to a very small high school. My graduating class was only 22 people.
What? Say it again?
We went to a very small high school. My graduating class only had 22 people.
Mm. Now, that either means a nice school, nice community, or flunky school that's been lopped on and attached to big school for stoners that couldn't get along in regular school.
It was rural, and it was very funky. Sucky sports, sucky teachers, Lots of people, alcoholics, teen pregnancies, lots of real exciting.
I have a good time.
That's nice. But there was there's no bigger high school right next door.
Oh, no, there's really nowhere else we could go unless you wanted to drive for, like, hours. We went up in the mountains by Denver.
All right. So,
this isn't weird that now rural has become dysfunctional? We're going to move the country and save our kids and raise them in a healthy environment with fresh air and clean living.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's speed and trailers. Yeah.
Well, it's sort of, I hate to say it, but it's like we're in some sort of centrifuge that spins around and all the trash gets spread out to the perimeter.
Mm.
That just gets spread out.
It's like spin art.
Spin art. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just gets thrown out to the corner. All right.
Something you and I enjoyed as a youth.
No, I did not.
For different reasons.
No. But let me just tell you something about the Ace Man. Stuff like spin art.
No way.
Oh.
Are you kidding?
That's $2.
Are you kidding?
No, I didn't even bring that stuff up. No, but you could look at it. You watch other people doing it. It's awesome. Yeah. No, Drew and I are complaining about our childhood. No, like stuff like, really came home to... really came home to roost today. When I was doing Bernie Mac, I ran into a guy. The guy was directing Bernie Mac. I went to Walter Reed Junior High with.
How weird is that?
Yeah, and he's like, "Hey, Adam. Hey, buddy. I'm glad you came in. Good to see you again." He was great above me. It's like, He said, "I'm looking. I'm gonna bring my yearbook in. You know, I have you sign it or something. Why don't you bring your yearbook when you come in again on next Tuesday?" I was thinking, I don't have a yearbook. What yearbook? That's crazy. Not the Rockefellers. Yeah, you know what would have been outlandish too?
Boy.
One of those caricature pictures where I'm on a skateboard and hearts are coming out of my head.
I actually reacted when my wife got my kids some of those. I was like, "What? Yeah. What do you do? I'm outraged."
It was $12. Katie.
Yeah.
Sorry about that digression.
No worries.
You use strap-ons.
Yes.
On your boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But right. Here's how low his self-esteem is. He just gives it oral.
Oh.
True. Hypothetical.
No.
All right, forget about your own family.
All right.
A neighbor's family.
All right.
The son. He's getting hammered with a strap-on. What? Anally, or he just performs oral on it?
Number one.
Just oral?
Door number one, yeah.
Really?
Into door number two.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But think about the implications. I mean, physically, not as tall in order, but emotionally, more bizarre.
If he were getting into one of those behaviors?
It's like, that's his thing.
Yeah, no.
Oral?
No.
Anal?
Mm.
That's what you go for.
Yeah.
Even though much less intrusive, but if you had to walk in on it.
Yep.
Chris, if your mom came down the hall and walked in on you doing something, performing on a strap-on or being on the business end of it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Okay.
These poor kids can have nightmares.
All right. All right.
His delicate sensibilities.
All right.
Let's finish with Katie.
All right.
Katie.
Performing oral, though, would be profoundly disturbing.
Bad times. It doesn't even... What?
Who suggested the strap-on?
Oh,
was it the
you.
Boyfriend,
it's all your idea.
Was it the girlfriend?
Oh, who wants to do the strap-on thing?
I did, you idiot. Oh, yeah. Katie, whose idea was the strap-on? Chris wants to know.
It kind of just was a mutual idea. I think I suggested it, but we started having, like, pretend sex and kind of reversed roles. Like, I was being real male, and he was all spread. And so it kind of just was like, well, you know, if you like that, maybe we should get a strap-on. And he was like, yeah, that's a great idea. And it's
when you say spread, you were on top of him?
Yeah, it was kind of like pretend role reversal.
All right, hold on. We got to take a break.
You want to get back to Katie?
Yeah, we do. I have to shake my head like an Etch-a-Sketch and then give myself a quick fleet enema. That's another thing, Drew.
Fleets?
No. Getting it with a strap on, but you're in the sort of submissive female position. You know, I mean, you're in a traditional female role or position.
There's only one way to have anal sex, isn't there? I mean, basically.
No, I think there's doggy, and then she's talking about missionary. I think you can do that. Missionary anal sounds like the world's worst like action movie. Missionary anal. Jean-Claude Van Damme is. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hold on. There we go. One more time. Katie?
Yeah?
Is he on his back or on his knees when you do this to him?
Sometimes he's on his back. Sometimes he'll write it and act very womanly. And sometimes
we need to talk.
You got to give it up. Give it up for the boy for having range, though. On
very,
top.
Very rangy. In fact, how do you even think of these things?
I don't know, but there's a fair amount of anal with the dude on his back.
And out there in the world?
I think so, yeah. And we got to take a break, right. But you know what I'm saying?
I hear you. I don't know what you're saying.
All right, so now you get to walk in on the neighbor's kid.
No, okay, during the break. Let's go talk while we're peeing.
Okay, Chris.
Let's do something healthy.
Your mom's coming down the hall.
Have a discussion while we're urinating. Come on.
No, let's go to the break.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Good news here at the studio. The microwave still smells like a cat took a crap on a wheel of provolone.
By the way, what did we walk into the bathroom?
Somebody melted it in there. Well, it was flooded.
What?
I don't know. Something's going on in the bathroom, too. But the bathroom, what's a microwave smell? Last night...
Like hell.
Last night, it smelled like cheese that someone took... It smelled like old cheese that someone took a blowtorch to.
The whole room was reeking of it last night.
Right.
Now
tonight,
you gotta stick your nose towards it.
Tonight's just a place where we put our coffee.
Right, right.
But it still smells like cheese.
Yeah.
How does that... Is it a microwave or is it an old movie theater? Like, where's all the upholstery coming from?
Yeah.
Where's the retention? It's a bunch of steel and glass.
I know, it's weird.
Why does the thing smell like cheese 24 hours after it did before? And you know what? Ooh, I got a radical idea.
Uh-oh.
One day I'm going to open a radio station.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a kitchen in it. And I'm going to have a microwave, smaller one.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to be this microwave.
No pizza.
Just for heating up coffee.
Ooh,
and water and beverages.
Nice.
And that kind of stuff. The big one
here. The soups make it smell like hell, too.
This one over here, there's a food microwave.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where you do up your nachos, you do up your cheese.
Now.
You do that.
A radio station?
Now.
How many minutes before it gets all screwed up?
Before someone just defecated in the small one.
Yeah.
And just wrote the helter skelter and fecal matter
on the
door.
Wall.
Yeah.
Screw Adam Carolla.
Well, listen, radio stations are awesome. I found a open can of Chef Boyardee mini raviolis. Aren't all raviolis mini? Did anyone ever get one that's like 14 inches by 28 or something? Like, they're all just mini, really.
But mini, it was 3/4 eaten.
Here's the deal. If Chef Boyardee, if a can of ravioli, Chef Boyardee ravioli, and by the way, nobody over the age 8 should be eating anything that comes out of the Chef Boyardee kitchen. I will label you retarded if I see anybody who can grow facial hair who's eating SpaghettiOs or Macaronios or Raviolios. Unless I got a note from your doctor saying that you're actually impaired, retarded, I will label you as someone I can't speak to.
But then this went beyond that.
This was a can of Chef Boyardee raviolis. There's probably, 10 of them that come in the can. 7 of them were gone, and 3 of them, 2 or 3.
Were left at the bottom.
Were left at the bottom.
Can have been open a good 2 weeks.
And for freshness, they took a paper towel, wedged it in the top.
It's just crammed it down on top of the can.
This is an adult who is a professional, theoretically, who decides, I'm going to keep 2 cents worth of the world's worst ravioli ever created. The world's worst Italian food.
Keep it fresh with a paper towel.
And keep it fresh with a paper towel. I'll put that in the fridge. That's what you find at the radio station, everybody.
Did you bring that out? You brought that out, didn't you, that night?
I did bring it out.
That was nice.
I want to know whose goddamn can that was. I want to know who was eating Chef Boyardee ravioli. You have to just be an idiot. You just have to be an a-hole.
Hmm?
You have to be. Everyone
Pretty
wants
much.
To separate everything from everything else. You know, it's like, sure, he was a serial killer, but he was a good father. And he was a loving father, and he was the head of his church, you know. Everyone wants to do this. He's a good guy. He's a smart guy. He's this. He's that. He's the other. But does this or that. You eat, as an adult, Chef Boyardee, you're an idiot. We have nothing to talk about.
I'm glad you brought up that topic. That immediately brings us to Katie's boyfriend.
Yes.
We can label him something based on his behavior. Let's figure that out.
Yeah.
He likes to ride a dildo that she wears.
Yes, and he likes to receive it in missionary.
Female submissive
positions,
style.
Yes. Katie?
Hi.
Does he enjoy raviolios?
Unfortunately, yeah, we do eat SpaghettiOs and things like that. So I guess we're kind
of... There you go, Adam. We're zeroing in here.
Do you actually go to the supermarket and buy SpaghettiOs?
They're cheap. We're poor.
I know, but let me explain something. This is right up there with in the 70s when they said old people had to eat cans of dog food and cat food. First off, Kraft macaroni and cheese, 29 cents, maybe 45 cents.
That's good.
Whatever. Top ramen, free. And the other thing is get a can of tuna for 59 cents.
Right.
What's the raviolios going to run you? I mean, that's like $1.10, $1.29. There's decent food out there. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, so no no excuse for your retardism in the SpaghettiOs. That just says albino white trash.
Yes, we've concluded that.
All right. So what else? What's wrong with him? I don't trust this guy.
Well, why you guys are living together?
We live together. We've been living together since I turned 18.
And how old is he?
He's 21. I'm 19 right now.
Where are your families of origin? I mean.
My family's from California originally. His family's from Minnesota, or next door, Montana.
Again, what do you...
They must be from, like, Lompoc or something,
but
right?
I started with that they were in foster care together.
Mm. Yeah, what are you doing away from your family so young?
I don't know. I just go to school and have a job. And
you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, Katie, please, are you high?
Well, maybe this is a bogus call.
No, I am not high. Please don't say that.
When did you leave your family?
I left my mom when I turned 18, but I love her. I still go see her all the time. It's not like she doesn't take care of me or whatever.
What part of California is she in?
Well, she doesn't live in California right now. We moved out here when I was 10.
Oh.
So right now she still lives up in the mountains where I grew up.
All right. And your dad, is he around?
No, I saw this one coming. No dad since about 8, and then my stepdad is an alcoholic, so that was predictable.
All right. It's coming together.
So your biological dad must be an addict also.
Yeah, yeah. He was a drug addict.
There we go. All right.
And did he abuse you?
Not that I remember. I don't really think he did. I just think it was enough. I've been to therapy before, and my therapist just says that him not being there did enough to make me feel bad about myself or whatever.
But what got you into therapy?
When I was younger, I was just a wreck, and I was into, like, self-cutting and stuff. I don't do that anymore, but I was not very healthy at
all. All right, it's coming into focus. All right, that's where all the choking comes from and all that stuff.
So far, the
aggression in bed with the wearing of the dildo.
All right, so
that's
got
you.
We got drug addict dad. We have an alcoholic stepdad. We got wreck of a mom who thought it'd be a good idea to welcome these two foxes into the hen house.
Actually, my mom's a very good mom, and she planned us out. I realized my dad was an idiot, so.
Well, let's say it again. Your mom thought it was a good idea to bring this a-hole into the home.
Two a-holes.
At least she got rid of him. I'll never mind.
She got rid of one after 8 years and the other one after how many years?
Oh, I don't know. It was like 2 years later she married my stepdad, and they're still technically married, but...
I thought she got rid of them.
They're still... No, she got rid of my real dad. My stepdad, I don't know. I hate him, but yeah.
Okay, everything's great, perfectly normal. Every family's like that.
Let me yap for just 1 second. I'm sorry if I'm sure mom was a victim at some point. I'm sure horrible atrocities.
Well, her dad was an alcoholic addict.
Performed
for sure.
On her. Yeah. But part of being a good parent is bringing the right people around into the home and around your child, especially. You bring a succession of alcoholic junkies who abuse your child, whether overtly or not, or just being high and out of hand around him, that's bad parenting. You get to actually get a bad parent label, even if you're not the one.
Not bad person, bad parent.
Yeah,
it's a technicality.
If your mom was the world's greatest mom, but she just opened the sofa to transient hobos, so they could sit there and get into the liquor cabinet and then come into your room at 4 a.m. drunk and
bad
have their way there.
Great idea, bad
parent. They weren't the one who did it.
Yeah.
That's their bad parent for opening the door to the guy.
Right. That's it. Bad parenting.
Thank you. All right, Katie. I don't trust this guy.
Tell us about him.
Okay, well, actually, he's got a lot wrong with him. My mom is a caretaker, and so am I, so I kind of pick the crap ones and try to fix them. So he's just a wreck, and if I tell you everything, I'm sure you're not going to believe me, but he's just, I know he was molested, he told me that, and his father was really bad into drinking and would abuse him and his mother, and his mother hates him, and he hates his mother, and he has a really bad mental illness, and he used to do drugs.
Okay. What mental illness does he have, bipolar?
No, actually, he has paranoid schizophrenia, but he responds really well to medication. He doesn't act crazy all the time. He doesn't ever have psychotic episodes, except for very rarely, so.
All right, Katie.
Doesn't ever have them, except for sometimes.
All right, he never has them, except for...
Very rarely.
All right, here's the thing, Katie.
Oh, Katie.
You... Where do we begin?
Suddenly the dildo shrinks in importance.
Here's all I'm saying, because we're in sort of damage control mode now. You need to not have any kids.
Yes.
So
I want birth control. I love birth control.
Good. And even when you're using the dildo, I want you to pull out.
Check.
All right.
His behavior really, I don't think you can... analyze it in a sense, make sense of it, because he's got so many biological problems. This is just how he manages those chaotic, crazy feelings.
This one, he's too far gone. You're not going to be able to fix it.
But it is, of course, a reenactment of the sexual abuse he had when he was a child on some level.
You need to, of course, you need to not get pregnant. Do you understand?
She's got it. She's doing good with that.
Please.
You're our new favorite train wreck.
Your favorite train wreck. I would not trust this guy with an ant farm. Do not bring kids around him.
I don't think she would. Katie has some judgment. She's
not stupid.
Yeah.
And she has had a little therapy, and you can hear that.
Yeah.
I don't think therapy is going to change his love of the strap-on any more than her getting therapy is going to change her pathology to draw in effed up people and take care of them. Wow. But at least you know what you're doing.
Yep.
All right.
Hey.
Whew.
Hey,
these Jews are out of hand.
But it takes all kinds.
It takes all kinds.
I thought she was Asian.
Could be Asian or Jew. Yeah. Go ahead.
It just takes all kinds.
I'll tell you, my favorite show, one of my favorite shows out there is The Extreme Home Makeover.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I keep a race tally. Still waiting for the Jews or the Asians to pop up. Haven't seen them yet. Lots of Mexican, lots of blacks, lots of white. Not going to see. And everyone just close your eyes and picture a Asian family popping up on that Extreme Home Makeover. Yeah, alcoholic dad. He beat up on mom pretty good. Then he got cirrhosis and he died. We were left with 26 kids. No way to pay the bills. Huh? Grandmama's living upstairs. Huh? Think about it. Huh?
It's the Wynn family.
Doesn't sound right, does it? No, it doesn't. All right. That's all we need to know.
Let's take a break.
Want to take a break?
Yeah.
I don't want to go out on that racist note, Drew. Come on.
Oh, okay. Let's take a quick one, like a six.
Six?
Yeah.
Jordan, 19.
Yes.
Oh, you're a chick?
Yeah.
Ooh, you sound cute.
Well, thank you. I am pretty cute. No, I'm just kidding.
I believe you. Sound a little heavy set, but cute.
Thank you.
All right. What's up?
Heavy set.
But you're a little husky, right?
Husky. There you go.
No, definitely not.
Oh, really?
No, definitely not.
What's your shape?
I am actually very petite. I'm about 110.
Mm-hmm.
And, big boobs, thank God. I'm coasting.
Hold on, Jordan. I got to mop up.
Oh
my God.
I'm in a refractory phase right now. What's up? What's going on? I know where I am. Oh, we're doing a radio show.
Taking a break.
We're going to take a break. We're going to get back with the petite yet busty Jordan after this. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Angie from The Apprentice on here tomorrow night. The Apprentice is a very good show, which Drew enjoys quite a bit. And I also enjoy it. Angie was great on the show.
And she's an old friend of yours.
She is an old friend of mine. And I didn't know it until, what's her name? The zesty little Latina broad who came in here from The Apprentice. I'll come up with her name in a second. Hot. Came in here.
Good wasn't she about to start three new TV shows or something? Wasn't she telling us?
Don't worry. She's on the fast track. The point is she came in here and explained to me that I knew Angie and that Angie said to say hi. And I realized, 12, 13 years ago.
And then we got her on the phone.
We got her on the phone, yeah. She was a girlfriend of a good friend of mine.
Todd, as I recall.
Yes, we hung out for a while.
Todd must be gone now.
Todd is working
at
a Home Depot.
I'm confused. Oh, that's better.
In Utah.
Oh, nice.
So things have worked out. Hey, he's doing doors and windows.
Doing plumbing.
Yeah, he ain't just out there, you know, looking for, universal fittings and elbows and LBs and, ball cock valves. He's out there with the doors and the windows.
Okay.
All right. How dare you judge one of my friends. Jordan?
We must not judge.
I'm here.
All right. Sounds sweet. You're 19. 110 pounds?
Yeah.
And busty, you say?
I'm pretty busty, yeah.
How tall are you?
5'3"
Mm.
Yeah.
Pipe up just a little bit, would you? What's the cup size on you?
32C.
Mm. See, there you go. That makes sense. That's a small back with the nice cup. Very nice. Yeah. You sound delightful.
Thanks.
What are you doing? Are you working? You going to school?
Yeah, actually, I work at an elementary school. Pretty hard job, actually. I work with spoiled kids all day long. So.
Spoiled kids, not special education kids. So it's spoiled kids.
It's a private school, yeah.
No, less little pampered little kids with their silver spoons in their mouths.
Definitely. Oh yeah. I mean, I could sit here for hours and tell you hilarious stories about my little fourth graders who tell me they're going to sue me for yelling at them.
Oh, yeah. Let's see if we figure out the race of the ethnicity of those kids, too. It's a drag. I can do all the math on this show.
It's amazing.
Yeah, all right. So,
what city is this?
And do they have, like, Blackberries and things like that? Cell phones?
Definitely. Actually, yeah, all my third and fourth years have cell phones.
What school are you, what city are you teaching in?
It's in Covina. It's called Sunrise Christian. Oh, I'd probably just give away too much information.
All right. Well, they're pain in the ass. All right. So anyway, you're getting your wisdom teeth pulled?
No. Okay. This is.
You sure you want to go through with this? I don't want you to incriminate yourself and get the school out.
No, this is really bad. See, you're not going to think I'm not cute anymore after I tell you this. I had my wisdom teeth pulled, and I had all four of them pulled.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm dating this guy right now, and about 6 months ago, I found out that he had herpes, and I'm kind of, I know this is going to sound really sad, but I've kind of stayed with him because I really feel like I just don't know if there's going to be too many other guys out there that are going to want to stay with me.
You have herpes now?
Yeah, well, of course. I was sleeping with him at the time, so... Uh-huh.
I'd have you.
Yeah, guys are not that troubled, Jordan, by all that.
Well, here's the thing: when we find the 110 C cup with the small back and the big cans, and a nice sense of humor, we're able to see past venereal diseases.
Yeah. You're like Superman. You have X-ray vision.
I see
right through it.
I see what's in a woman's heart, not on her vagina. That's my thing, Drew. That's my saying.
Yes, I've noticed that about you.
I look into a woman's soul, not on top of her vagina.
Sure, sure. Yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I look for passions, not lesions.
Oh, nice. That's a wisdom to live by.
You hear that, Chris?
Yeah, I got that.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay.
I'm looking for open minds, not open sores.
So thus far, we've got... We got herpes, you've got herpes, we've got wisdom teeth pulled. What's the question?
The question is, they told my dentist told me it would take about a month for it to heal.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering, I'm not like, I'm kind of a clean freak, which is why I was really upset about finding out I had herpes. I was wondering if there'd be any possible chance I could get an infection from... giving head to him while having the sore in my mouth and
I don't think you'd be at added risk of getting herpes in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That if he had any viral shedding, mm-hmm. meaning if he was producing virus, and he may not have symptoms when that's happening, he can transmit that to your mouth, whether or not you have the sores from wisdom teeth being pulled.
All right.
It penetrates the lining of the mouth, not doesn't need an open sore. It's not like HIV or something like
Interesting.
That.
Interesting. All right, Jordan. Good luck. I like Jordan.
Mm-hmm. You like her.
She's looking for reasons to perform oral.
Yeah.
She's humbled by her herpes. Herpes will humble. You know what
I'm
saying?
You're just poetic tonight. It's just, I'm just taken.
I should be doing like a Def Jam. Herpes! Little bongo. Humble. Herpes!
You're better just with the straight poetry.
Oh, okay.
The prose.
All right.
All right, we got to take a break.
Hold on. Trish?
Yeah.
You and your boyfriend are both in the military?
Yeah.
What branch?
Okay. He's in the Marines. And
Number five.
And I'm in the Navy.
All right, so you guys are arch enemies.
Exactly.
All right, so you're both still in the service.
Of course.
And you're both in the military. Relationship's falling apart. Interesting. Is he shipped out somewhere now, or are you shipped out?
No, we're local. We're just far away because he's based in Palm Springs somewhere, and I'm based in L.A. somewhere.
All right, hold on a second. By the way, she's probably out towards San Diego. He's out in, you know, Palm Desert or whatever.
Gorgonio Mountains.
It's a whole 51 miles.
Yeah.
You could drive a half track back and forth.
We'll hear more.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, buddy. Oh, it's my song.
Mm-hmm. The Ace heard
Man.
In a while.
Wearing my smoked shades, moving through the bar. Leather jacket slung over the shoulder. Dingo boots on. Nice. Confident stride. Hair bouncing. Feathered hair. Bouncing. Ladies. Slow motion. All looking over their shoulders at the bar.
Don't you pull your glasses off?
I lean them down. Under. I slide down. And I look over the top.
And here's what they see.
They see this?
Here's what they see.
No, they hear it.
Well, they see it.
Oh, really? I thought the joke was it's what they hear. Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Where are those bars where the hot chicks sit around and drink?
On commercials.
Is that just it?
Yeah.
And do hot chicks, according to commercials, they sort of pair off. Like, all right, we got a blonde chick, we got a black chick, although she has white features and she's not very dark. And then we have a Asian chick.
Mm.
We'll put them together and they'll hang out.
Mm-hmm.
That's what every beer commercial's like. Whoa, we got a hot redhead, we got a hot blonde, we got a hot black chick who, again, doesn't look black or has no features. It's just, she's white, but she's spray-painted brown. She's straight hair, little nostrils, a little pixie nose and everything. There's nothing you'd think of as a traditional. Put her with, watch while a hot Asian chick or a Latin chick. They're interchangeable. They don't need both.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
It's quite a formula.
It's one or the other. You need the hot blonde.
Mm-hmm.
You need the hot black chick, really doesn't seem black, and then you need either the Asian or Latina chick, depending.
Excellent.
All right. And that's who hangs out at the bars.
Yeah, of course.
But it's never two blondes hanging out together.
No, I've never seen that.
But if it is two blondes, it's eight blondes. See what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a whole grouping of blondes. That's how it works. Smoking hot chicks like to drink. And are somehow, I like the ones, too, that are, they know their beers. They don't like that Michelob because it's watery. They don't want Miller Lite. They want the Sam Adams. Like, you know, hot 21-year-old chick who knows about anything?
Sure.
She's a
first thing on their mind.
She's a hops and barley gal. She probably does a little brewing herself.
Of course.
Okay.
A trash can.
She's been to Bavaria a few times buying barley.
So, Trish, you're in the Navy and your husband's in the Marines and you live 50 miles apart. Boyfriend, you live 50 miles apart. What's going on?
Well, here's the deal. You know, Marines usually have, they do have that stereotype that, they do is drink when they're off duty and mess around and stuff, and he's not like
that's
that.
That's not him. All right.
Yeah,
of course not.
Like
how dare you?
But I heard, you know, before he went to Iraq, he told me himself, me and him can talk straight out, but he told me that he drank a lot. I mean, it was so bad that every day he was drinking right before he left. He comes back, and, you know, he just met me. This is a total new relationship, so it's not like it's been a while.
Well, slow down a second. How long were you together before he shipped out?
We weren't together when he shipped out. I just met him like a month ago.
Is this confusing to you? It's confusing to me.
I got to be honest with everyone. About every 14th call, I decide not to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Think about other things.
You chose the right one.
What's going on?
I have no idea.
She got that strap-on dildo?
We're getting there.
Okay. All right.
So a few minutes ago, you said you'd been together for months and he was in Palm Springs and you were in San Clemente or something.
I've been together for almost a month. I mean, but we.
And when did he go to Iraq?
He went to Iraq. I'm not even sure. I met him after. This is.
Okay, you met him after that. All right.
This was
Drew,
just talking
hold on.
To me.
Just him talking to you. Blowholes?
FYI. No, the difference between curtains and drapes, is it the same thing or is it a difference?
I think that with drapes, you start thinking about heavier material.
Drapery.
Things that drape.
Uh-huh. And so curtains could be more sheer.
Curtains could be anything that covers a window. Okay.
Okay.
So, Trish?
Yeah.
Keep going.
Drape stick.
I'm sorry?
You're saying?
What's drape stick?
Thicker material?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I think thick.
Go ahead, Trish.
Heavier. Heavy, I think it's a...
Heavier material? Yeah. Okay. That's just what you always wanted.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Trish.
Okay, well, pretty much my question is, you know, he admitted to me that he had a little drinking problem in the past, and this is just a new relationship, but he was telling, you know, and this weekend he was supposed to come and see me or at least call me or something, and he did it. He didn't call me till Sunday. And
another just quick one, apropos to nothing, but pasteurized and homogenized.
Different
things.
Different things. Foyer and porte cochere.
Different place in the house?
Yeah. Foyer is a little...
That's it.
Porte cochere, right? I think, is where they actually drive things through.
Oh, they pull the car. Yeah. Pasteurized?
Pasteurized is a process to take bacteria out. Yeah.
It's a heating process.
Homogenized is sort of mixing it up.
Mixing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
the drape's a heavier material.
Porte cochere, car through.
Homogenized is mixing
foyer
up.
Foyer is just sort of a way to...
You would homogenize something after you pasteurize it?
I believe that's so.
True. Okay. All right. Trish?
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Okay, so my friend told me to call this line, and I wasn't going to, and I did anyways, but he wants me to know, he told me that because he has so many problems right now, just because he's going through a lot in his unit and stuff, he told me that I shouldn't, like, fall for this guy so quickly. That
I would agree. I would agree, Trish.
Real quick, one more time. I don't know what the caller's talking about. I'm assuming you're doing your job.
Sure.
Micro...
And macro.
Small. Macro.
Big.
Macro big.
Yeah.
Okay, so macro, not macro. What would be big? Like a 6-foot sub would be macro, and finger food would be micro?
Yeah. It's usually even bigger scale differences.
Foot sub?
Yeah,
like an 8-foot sub?
Like
9-foot sub?
Studying New York City would be on a macro level, and studying the behavior
Harlem?
Of an ant would
on
be
ant.
Micro.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it'd be smaller. Yeah. Micro?
Macro.
Macro. Okay.
So, Trish, definitely, it's a month-old relationship. The guy's already giving you sort of messages about this not working. He's an alcoholic whose disease is emerging. Not the kind of situation you want to get really tightly involved with. Certainly not one that he's giving you cues you should be getting involved with. Did you have an alcoholic father?
No. And see, the thing is, he admits it himself. He's like, I don't want this.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. It's him and his disease. Did you have a dad or mom who drank?
No.
Eh?
No.
Well, then why are you insisting on grabbing onto this relationship with both hands?
Well, you know, just the fact that he admitted it, because usually guys, they won't.
All right, Trish, admitting it has nothing to do with anything. Don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Alcoholics will often say that and go, and someday I'll deal with it, but right now I'm drinking. Micro small.
Okay, but, and then just another topic. Flip-flops and Zoris.
Same thing.
Zori and a flip-flop,
Some people in this state, California, will call them slaps. Remember Jack slaps? Remember that?
Oh, another Jap slaps.
Jap slaps.
Right. Same. In the sandal family? Or
sandals.
In the family of a sandal.
Sandals.
No one called them a sandal. No one called flip-flops sandals.
Not intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe reaching for a description.
Do you need a heel strap to be a sandal?
Mm-hmm.
Not on a woman. But on a man.
Oh,
here's what I say.
Yes, I think that's true, because the Romans had sandals.
If a chick can wear a sandal with no heel strap and still be wearing a sandal... If a guy puts those on, he's wearing flip-flops.
Yeah.
Wow.
Heavy. Because the woman's sandals can have a heel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Caller?
Trish?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Drew digressed again. Go ahead.
Well, like I said, I mean, I would normally just be like, whatever, but he looks like he knows that he doesn't want to go back into that. He wants to get rid of the problem, and You know, he wants us to work out. He said.
Well, so he's getting his dealing with alcoholism is him going to treatment. It has nothing to do with you. And if he's not going to treatment, he's not going to stop drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple.
Drew, just again, just quickly, is it editor in chief or editor and chief?
In chief.
In chief. Because it seems like it would be editor and chief, you know?
In chief, yeah.
In chief.
Yeah.
In chief.
In chief.
What does in chief mean?
Yeah.
Does it mean anything? Editor in chief. Seems weird, doesn't it?
It does.
It's like he's in some sort of fabric called chief.
In chief.
Editor in chief. You know,
it's sort of like I think it's like in residence.
Uh-huh. You in know? Residence. Because yeah. I think a lot of people say editor and chief sometimes. Yeah. Caller?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So it's like he's telling me that he wants to stop before it gets even worse because he knows.
Well, but that's up to him. That has nothing to do with you. Nothing.
I know, but see, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking.
Real quick, Drew. Yeah. Inter and intra.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, that's hard one to figure
inter
out.
Inter is between.
Inter is between.
Intra is within.
Within.
Mm. It's an interstate.
Interstate.
From state to state.
That's state to state. Oh, that's between state to state.
Yeah.
Inter is between.
Yeah, interstate.
Intra.
Within.
But what about the intercontinental ballistic missiles?
From continent to continent.
Oh, between continent.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was an intracontinental ballistic missile, we'd blow ourselves up. So we couldn't
do that. Wow. Wouldn't want to do that.
So one's within.
Huh.
And there's an inter and intra.
Mm, fascinating.
Interesting.
Trish?
Caller?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, so my question is, you know, here's the thing. I really, really like him. I really do. And the fact that he says that he's open with me and he's just telling me this, and he actually does want to work it out because he's the one that's saying this. I don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even told him yesterday, I go, you know what? If it's not working out, do us both a favor. But and he just right away, he was like, no, I think we can work this out. I just, you know, I have a lot of things going on.
Well,
right
so
now.
We'll see. We'll see.
My thing is, I don't want to give up that easily, but I mean, should I just let time pass by and see what's going on and try to?
What other options? What happens? Be that? Well, sure, as a human being, but what options do you have? He's not calling you, and that's that. What are you going to do? Fly over to wherever he is?
Is it tough road?
Road.
Tough road.
A hoe.
A hoe. Now, or is it tough row to hoe?
No. I don't know what the aho refers to, but it's a road.
Well, I
think it basically means ahead.
Ahead. Now, that's what I thought it used to mean. But now, I heard differently.
Oh.
By the world's smartest man, too, by the way.
Who?
Steve O'Donnell, head writer over at Jimmy Kimmel Live.
What did he say it is?
It's tough row, like a row of corn or wheat.
To hoe.
To hoe. It's a tough row to hoe. Chris, look that up, would you? What's going on with it? Are we still on the same call? Caller?
Yeah.
What's going on?
So, he does call me. That's the thing. I freaked out because he didn't call me this weekend because he told me he was going to come and see me. I haven't seen him in 2 weeks. But other than that, it's like everything's fine. When we go out, he's...
Trish, you're 23. It's like talking to a 14-year-old. Come on.
No, I mean, like...
No, yes. What's going on here, kiddo?
We have and stuff. And, like, he treats me really good. He treats me with a lot of respect.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine. But start looking realistically at your relationship here.
Just, again, I know you're not a thesaurus, but invoke and evoke.
Evoke is to bring out. Invoke is to sort of refer, to bring into the... to bring in.
Bring someone's name into a conversation.
You can invoke...
Or could I invoke a messiah or something?
Or it's like invoking a code.
But if we were talking
calling
about,
upon.
If we were talking about something and I invoked Moses' name.
Yes.
And bring it into the
brought
conversation.
It in, yes. Yeah. Evoked would be like to bring out of something.
Uh-huh.
You have to evoke something from Moses.
Right.
Like gas or.
Right. You know. Oh, I see. Okay. Right. Caller?
Yeah.
Okay, so are we cool, or where are we at?
I don't want to give... I feel like I shouldn't waste my time, but on the other hand, it's like, you know what, it's a new thing. Maybe I should just, like, see what happens, let time pass by. Because, I mean, if everything else is so good, and he's on top of everything, he's honest, and he knows that he needs to do something about it, he's doing something about it. It's like,
what's he doing about it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not...
What's he doing about it?
Well, he's not... How do I say
he's not doing anything about it, Trish.
Well, wait,
relax.
He's not an alcoholic. I mean, he's trying to stop himself from getting to that point, but I told him...
Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between having a drinking problem and being an alcoholic?
Because he's not drinking every day like he was.
Alcoholics don't drink every day.
Well, it's just, you know what? He doesn't have friends.
Whatever, Trish.
Real quick, yeah. Again, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I know. Don't worry. You're not missing anything.
I've seen it written. It's confusing me. I've always pronounced it cummerbund. But I see it written, and it looks like cummerbund.
I think that's correct.
It's cummerbund.
There's no cumber.
No cummerbund. I think a lot of people say cummerbund.
I think you're right.
Cummerbund.
What is also give us the history of that one, Chris?
Cummerbund.
Cummerbund.
Cummerbund. Yeah. Cummerbund seems very gay. Very gay.
There's no B in that? No B.
Yeah, you would say cummerbund, but it's cummerbund.
Go check out what that means. Right. There's a website that shows the sort of historical... let's go into the call.
We done with the caller?
I think so.
Caller?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're cool?
We're cool.
Okay, you're satisfied?
Yeah.
Drew talked to you about stuff?
She's not listening anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
What'd you say?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. Caller?
Yeah.
All right. Semper Fi.
Okay, thanks.
Carry on.
Yeah, bye.
All right. Well, I hope that went well.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned all kinds of things during that call.
Mm-hmm. Good, Trish didn't.
Heath?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
26?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I don't know. I've been married for going on 5 years this year, and it just seems like every day it gets a little bit worse in my marriage. You know, like we keep drifting farther and farther apart here recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess I just needed some advice, you know, or just to make sure I'm not delusional here. Mm-hmm. You know, I just feel like I'm, you know, in a sense losing my wife because I turned on my digital camera the other day. She'd been taking pictures of herself, which she's not the type that likes to take pictures of herself. She can't even stand when I pull out the camera and take pictures of the kids. She'll run off to another room.
He thinks she's been sending these pictures to someone over
and,
the internet.
You know,
that's what she's been doing.
The
what?
The other thing is that, you know, on the internet, you know, you can always erase, you know, your history of what websites you've been to, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can't. My wife finds all the big and busty novelty sites.
She does not.
She has never done that, but now she has been.
Uh-oh. You know when they've been erasing stuff?
Yeah. And
just days missing, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I even went through and, I mean, I'm sure, you know, Dr. Drew will understand what I'm talking about. I went through my
drive
and I checked my cookies. And, you know, it tells you all the websites you've been through because, it saves it onto your C drive.
All right.
And she'd been to, like, tarot readings websites and just a bunch of other different
tarot readings.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so it's Drew's wife. Well, let's figure this out. The pictures, this is very telling. The picture, she obviously set the camera on the mantelpiece, put the timer on it or something, took a picture of herself that way, or just held it out in front of her?
She just held it out in front of her, and the thing is that I asked her about it.
Hold on. How did she look? Was she dolled
up?
Was
it provocative or anything?
But was she wearing makeup? Was her hair done?
No. She was just a normal headshot picture. Just an everyday round the house type picture.
Hmm. Now, hold on. Let me talk to Drew for a second. It seems like if you're trying to pull something off this way, you at least put a little lipstick on.
On the other hand, it just could be some pal on the web that she's been talking to.
Yeah,
and she's not trying to get in too deep.
Because if a woman is, let's just hypothetically say, the woman has met the guy on the internet, mm-hmm. and they're corresponding, and the guy said, I'd like to see a picture of you.
She put it on.
On comes the blush and the kissing potion, yes?
Uh-huh.
I put that on before I even come to the station, even if
I don't
have a guest.
I noticed.
My lips are very kissably soft tonight. Heath?
Yeah,
so you put that on your nipples, too.
So they're sensitive. Did she, you didn't catch anything from her that way? It shouldn't look like she was dolled up.
No, not at all. And I asked her about it, out of curiosity. And mm-hmm. she had said that her and our son was, playing around with the camera, taking pictures of each other. Well, you know, she doesn't, I don't think, know how to exactly erase everything, because obviously if that was the case, you would erase them. And our son is the type that would be the first one to say, take a picture of me, take a picture of me. And there is no pictures anywhere of him in anything.
All right. What do you mean? What do you mean? You feel like you're losing your wife? What was that all about?
Well, I mean, I feel like, you know, because, you know, here's the thing. For the past 7 months, I've been working on my own. I started up my own small company, and you know, for the first couple of months, every day I walk in the door, she'd be the first one to come, give me a hug, kiss me, ask me how my day was. And it just seems like every day, you know, she doesn't ask me. She just, you know. Just doesn't even really talk to me when I first.
Well, she's burning out and she's sort of protecting herself. Why don't you make an effort to bring it back in? Just take her out on Friday and Saturday night, spend a weekend away with her, to put the kids with somebody else for a little while. You got to listen, relationships have to be cared for. She may be just dealing. That may be just her way of sort of honkering down to get ready to keep dealing with you not being around.
Drew looks at a relationship like a flower. Like a rose plant.
Absolutely. An orchid.
I think it's more of a agave cactus.
Well, see, and here's
just leave it alone. I mean, try to keep the birds off it.
Well, see, here's the thing. I mean,
the squirrels away.
I'm the first one that wants to, you know, go out on the weekends. I want to go to the movies. She doesn't want to do anything. She doesn't want to, you know, have a babysitter. She doesn't want to do that kind of thing.
All right. But, well, here's, you know, all right, let me.
Are you guys having sex normally?
No, I mean, it's very seldom anymore.
Oh. All right, Heath, as you know, I'm a genius. And by the way, I'm all rested up from the last call.
I know you are.
Thank you. Now, did you guys meet early? Did you start dating in high school?
No, we actually met about 6.5 years ago, and then we got married about 1.5 years after that.
Okay, so even at 20, you met when you were 18 or 19, or 19 or 20?
I was 19, she was 23.
Ooh,
a little bit older. All right.
Yeah, she was 29.
Had she had any divorces or any prior history of, you know, leaving anyone at an altar, getting out of something?
No, I mean, no, she was engaged once, and then they broke it off.
Uh-oh.
Who, did she break it off?
I think it was more of a mutual thing. They just kind of fell away from each other. That was the thing. Mm-hmm. They both was, you know, just...
All right, hold on.
Maybe get her family of origin stuff. Get her history.
Let me just say this, everybody. In terms of your relationships, and it's really in terms of everything. I mean, brought this up last week. Patterns. Yeah. Most the people I know who are now getting divorced, their parents got divorced about the same age, you know? Stuff... about the same age as your parents, as your father, as your mother. You just have these patterns. Well, why not? Why wouldn't you?
You're human. Yeah,
there's, and I know we're all individuals and we can all do whatever we want. There's way too many of us for God to ever let that happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course, there's just going to be certain predictable patterns. There has to be.
Well, here's what would seal the deal in this one, if her mom had like 4 husbands or something.
Right. As it is, if you want to know, put it this way. This is people, and here's something interesting, I think. This is when people are younger. As they get older, they're able to calm down.
Yes.
A little of the gas is taken out of their effed up tank,
yes,
and they just don't have quite the charge on their batteries for the mayhem and the mischief and the repetition.
But basically, if you want to know, if somebody's in their 20s or even early 30s, and you want to know how your relationship with them is going to turn out, just find out how the last
one. See how the last one was, or the one before that. If you're hooked up with somebody who's cheating on their person,
expect cheating
at some stage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if their husband is 52 and they're 41, and something happens, you can get married to them, and it'll just go out. If they're 24, expect some cheating in the next few
basically
years.
Basically, there's a shift about every 2 decades.
Right.
So what's her family of origin situation?
Well. Her mother has only been married once, and since then has, you know, found a new boyfriend, fiance, or whatever. Her father has been married like 3 or 4 different times.
Ooh, uh-oh.
It's bad, but...
That's not good.
It's not good. It's not great. And she was engaged once already.
Yeah, she was engaged, and she had a son with him, and then they ended up breaking it off.
Oh, boy.
And she was engaged and then broke it off, and how soon after met you?
Well, I mean, it was probably close to...
2 weeks?
It was about 1 year after they broke it off, because her son was about 1 year old when we first met.
He broke it off while she was pregnant?
No. They
just gave birth?
It off. Well, whenever she had the their son, they were splitting up then, and then she moved back in with her mom about, I think it was like a month or two after he was born.
Okay. And you guys have a few. You guys have a few kids.
Well, we have one together now, so we
okay.
have two total.
All right, Heath. I think you need to have a serious sit down with the old lady and say, "Look, I feel things coming undone, coming unglued here.
I want to try to make it
let's
work.
Let's nip this the part where it's coming unglued in the bud here.
Do not want to be like Dad. Do not want to make the mistakes he made. Do not want to put our daughter through what you went through with your dad.
You got one kid with one guy who's not on the scene anymore. Do you want the next kid with another guy who's not going to be on the scene anymore? Let's try to focus. Let's
get some help.
Let's rally around the kid. Let's get a little help.
Some couples work here.
There we go.
If she really won't cooperate, get some professional help. Seriously, you owe your kids this.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah! Love Line. I'll tell you what right now. Angie is coming in here from The Apprentice tomorrow night. She's the chick who runs the gym with the multiple colored hair. And she's an old friend of mine that I forgot was an old friend of mine. And she's coming in here.
And then next Tuesday. Oh, Monday. Oh, I live for Monday.
Seth MacFarlane is coming in along with Alex Borstein. Seth does... try to say Seth and Alex at the same time. It just comes out sex.
Nice.
Seth does just about every voice on that show, and the ones he doesn't do, Alex Borstein does. And Alex Borstein, an old friend of mine.
Alex, you know, there have been these Mad TV replays have been going constantly on Comedy Central. My kids picked up on this, and so we have Comedy Central going all the time, but the Mad TV in our house. I've seen more of Alex in the last, like, 3 months than I've ever imagined.
Yeah, and she
does some interesting stuff.
She's a very talented person. She is a person I have known for coming on 15 years, I would say. Knew her from the old
Acme
Theater days. And her husband is an old friend of mine.
Did she do some of the same characters back in the Acme days that she did on Mad TV?
No.
It was all invented for television. Interesting.
Yeah. And I was a couple years ahead of her, and I never, you know, I don't support the arts in any way, so
I
never went to the other show.
And you don't appreciate anybody else's performances.
Who?
Yeah, I know.
Who?
I know how it is for you.
Who?
It's tough.
Okay. Let's keep moving.
Yeah.
Michelle?
Intra and inter. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Tough one. Michelle, 24.
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, I've been married for about 5 years. We've been together since high school.
Uh-oh.
I've got 4 kids. And I have this really high sex drive. Like, I want sex every day. And he's like, well, you know, every other week or, you know, and the more I want it, the less I get it. Like, if I, you know, I can come home from work and, you know, do the really good DJ trying to wake him up. And he just, like, will be like, oh, thanks, and roll over. And
well, hold on a second. You come home from work and try to wake him up, the BJ?
Right.
What's he doing home asleep while you're at work?
Because I work nights, and he goes to school in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So what's he studying?
He's going to be a mechanic.
Faggotry. He's going to be a mechanic.
Right. Well, a technician.
I see. And you come home at what time?
She's a mechanic. Mechanics aren't called mechanics anymore.
I got home about 30 minutes ago. So I get home at 11.
So the kids are asleep.
Hold on.
The kids are sleeping.
Hold on.
She works evenings.
I know, but you get home and you wake him up with a BJ.
Because he's asleep. Because
he
gets up in the morning
to school.
Right.
So he goes to bed at 10.
You wake him up.
Yeah.
You should wake him up.
With
you know,
a BJ.
Wake him up with a BJ. When I hear
literally.
Wake up with a BJ, I think like wake up with, you know, pancakes or coffee. But I don't think just wake up after you went to bed 10 minutes ago.
No, wake him up actually with a BJ.
I see.
As opposed to with squirting water in his face. Something.
Nice. Well, my roommates would have tried that
like
more
roll often. Over. Oh. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
So that just happened, huh?
Well, not just now, but last night.
Well, here's... Okay, let me say this. Two things. Guys are intimidated by women's sexuality a little bit sometimes, and when sometimes,
especially strangely, the low sex drive guy more than anybody.
Yeah, if a guy's metronome is set to once a week sexually, and a woman starts pushing, now it's once a month.
Yeah,
and
right.
they but I think what they do is they do, I think it's a natural thing that almost anyone does with almost anything that they have feelings about. It becomes bigger than what it is.
Right.
And there, and then at a certain point, you just try to, it's like the dentist can be so intimidating that you don't never get a cleaning. Like, it just becomes bigger than what it is. It's that way with, I'd say, most things in life where if you just do it, you enjoy it and it's no big thing. He's up in his head and he's freaked out and you're coming at him. He just needs to correct this by erectus.
Focusing.
Correct this with erectus. Correct this with erectus.
How is he on any medication?
No, but he's
what?
Pot.
Oh, he smokes a lot of pot.
Right, a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean,
he was like 12.
Well, here's the thing about pot smokers.
Since he was 12.
Marijuana addicts, the marijuana is more important than anything. And so the marijuana, really all the stimulation and sort of interaction that one would normally get from sex, he gets from pot. And that's his love. That's who he's connected. That's what he's connected to. And that's why he doesn't work so well. Because the marijuana just takes all that away. But he's perfectly satisfied with him and his pot, and you're getting in the way of him and his pot. Listen, I deal with addiction all the time. I know addicts, and this is really fun.
You're getting in the way of...
You're sort of bumming his high. He's happily connected to his pot. Occasionally, he'll come around to her.
I occasionally smoke with him just to be with him.
No, I understand. Yeah, I guess people do that. That's called codependency.
Shared interests, I call it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. No, I agree with Drew, and put a finer point on it, which is pot just sort of smooths out all life's rough edges, and you go sort of dormant.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys, especially guys, been smoking since 12. I mean, he's got a good.
It changes his brain very severely.
Coming on,
very significantly.
15 years of weed smoking for him. I don't know how old is he now.
24.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we'll make it 12. But the point is,
half his life
smoking weed. He's just content to be left alone,
right.
and he's up in his head a little bit and high, and so when you start pushing on him, you just want to retreat. I just got high last weekend.
Michelle, it's a kind of a tough situation. He's going to need treatment for this. This is not a good situation. He's going to eventually become very, very depressed, have trouble functioning. Maybe not yet, but when it really comes down, he's not going to be able to stop on his own. In fact, stopping on his own can be kind of dangerous with this drug. It's the addiction is defined by the consequences, relationships, work or school, finance, health, or legal, and he's having a relationships problem because of his drug use.
Mm-hmm.
That's addiction.
Pot just sort of, when it comes down to it, pot is sort of like, well, if you got a choice to make, let's choose the nothing box. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, just, it's even stuff you enjoy sometimes, like mountain bike riding.
When
you get stoned, it's like, man.
Yeah.
It's relaxed.
You're going to tell us about your high experience last week?
I got stoned.
And what happened?
Decided to do nothing. Well, first I had to eat.
Yeah.
But I ain't gotten stoned in a long time. It's been a long time.
So you and Donnie got together?
Wasn't Donnie.
Oh. What?
Other people you know.
Oh, I know who.
I can't mention their names.
I know. But we were all at a wedding together. Anyway, go ahead.
Everyone's a bad influence on me. Point is, I got baked.
Except it was everybody else's parents that came to your parents and said,
yeah. I got baked, and you know, we had to get a little something to eat, and then it was time to do nothing. I just couldn't motivate. Watched the hell out of that TiVo, though.
Yeah.
Made love to the TiVo, shorted it out with semen. Fire started coming out of it. Actually,
but you were able to produce semen.
Humped the TiVo.
That's something.
Yeah, only for TiVo.
Mm.
I couldn't have done it in the presence of a woman.
Mm, of course.
I raped the TiVo guy.
The little jelly TV guy?
The weird jelly TV guy.
Yeah.
Actually attacked him with my penis.
I have no doubt.
So, hey, listen, I use sex as a weapon.
Oh, yeah.
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 Noonchucks. Are you ready to rock?
All right.
That's my weapon. I use sex as. Alexis?
Yes?
Oh, wait, good.
Yeah, 17?
Yeah, I am.
Ooh, been on hold for 103 minutes.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, so about 2 months ago, some friends and I took what we thought was ecstasy. It turned out to be meth, and
how do you know?
How do I know? Because the next time I took what I thought was going to be ecstasy, my friend told me it was meth, and it looked the same as when I took it the time before that. It was crystally and... wasn't in a pill form. We did it in another way.
Yeah, all right. Well, go ahead.
Okay, so we didn't eat or sleep for about 30 hours. I lost like 6 pounds in that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day I fainted twice, and I was wondering what kind of brain damage I could have gotten from...
Unless you hit your head on the coffee table on your way down.
The fainting is either a rhythm disturbance.
You didn't
eat. Either a rhythm disturbance, which it's not likely to be, or you just didn't drink either. You didn't have any fluids during that time. And most a 6 pound weight loss is mostly a fluid loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you were what you call volume depleted. And when you stand up, you have no blood pressure and you faint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of what the amphetamine can do to you, usually not a single exposure is going to hurt you. It has to be something you do regularly for a couple months. It will damage the mood centers of the brain. So you'll get depression, panic, and anxiety, and some oftentimes memory disturbances. Those are the typical injuries of amphetamine.
Okay, so there's no damage just from fainting, then?
Probably not. Not a single exposure.
Take it easy, lightweight. Drugs aren't for you. Stop monkeying. You have yourself a wine cooler or something.
17.
Okay.
I want to hear the Insane Clown Posse tell us a joke. I haven't heard that in a long time.
All right, baby. Take care of yourself.
You learned
a lesson. But, but treat it as a lesson, all right?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Don't have sex. I want to hear Violent J?
Violent J telling us about his... What was he talking about?
The only way I lived is my own, my big fat ass every day when I wake up. That was pretty good. My fat ass. Oh, my God. Hey, play that again. Pump the hell out of her butthole, man. That's good. You can caress the balls. You can gently pet them. You can stroke them. You can juggle them from side to side to side. But don't punch the balls.
I prefer the maniacal laughter.
I like don't punch the balls either.
The only weight I lift is my own, my big fat ass every day when I wake up. That was pretty good. My fat ass. Oh, my God. Hey, play that again.
Don't punch the balls sounds like a horrible board game.
Yeah, yeah.
Milton Bradley presents Don't Punch the Balls.
Yes.
Big hairy scrotum hanging on. Right.
Remember
in the
that
game,
the Don't Tip the Waiter?
No.
That was great.
Don't
break the ice and don't spill the beans.
Don't tip the waiter was this like seesaw waiter guy, and you had to put all these different pieces on top of his platter. And then if he tipped, whoever made him tip. Kind of like Jenga.
Wow.
It's weird because...
It must have been after our time. Remember, don't spill the beans, don't break the ice.
Yes. And again, I was very familiar with all those games from not only seeing the commercials of them on television, but seeing them over at my friend's house.
Not at your house?
No. Okay. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, everybody. I'll tell you, we have no choice but to get it on.
Here we go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Chris, we going to get it on?
Let's get it on, dude.
Hypothetical, seriously. You hear your mom. You hear those heavy footsteps coming down the hall.
And you're riding a dildo.
No.
Oh, no?
No. Your lady has a strap on. She catches you.
Your mom.
Mom catches you. Are you performing oral on the strap on?
We established
that the girl
this
is
one 2 hours ago.
He never answered. Or is she sodomizing you with it?
I'm not going to even go there.
Chris, come on.
It's too late. We're there.
You have to pick one.
You have to pick one. Mom has to see one.
What do you want her to see?
What are the choices again?
You giving oral to a dildo or your girlfriend?
Well, no, it's a strap on.
Or your girlfriend.
Is using it on
strap
you.
On you.
I guess using
it. Okay,
I don't
use it.
Come on, buddy.
Anderson, relax.
That's what he likes. He's into that. You hear him bragging about it? Wow.
That was a zestful response.
Hold on. There's a little something I call TMI, too much information. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, you have thoughts. Keep them to yourself, huh? Wow.
Gross me out a little bit. Freak me out.
Huh? True. I just think there's a little boundary issue with Chris.
Yeah. Shh. She's listening. Here we go. Lisa.
I'm going to write this down. I got to bring this in tomorrow to the writers over at Kimmel.
All right. Go ahead.
Because it is the ultimate question. Both profoundly disturbing.
You must, however, set the stage by discussing the guy that laid there being. Done in the female dependent position.
Yeah, we had that.
And then the riding the dildo
about
thing.
About an hour and a half ago. Who are we on?
Lisa.
Lisa?
Yeah.
31.
Yes.
What's up?
I'm considering getting into the world of high-class escorts.
Why? Mm-hmm. How? What's mm-hmm. the deal?
It seems lucrative. It's enjoyable.
Enjoyable?
Yeah, if you screen the right people.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like. I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm calling.
It seems enjoyable to have sex with strangers if they're decent guys.
They're only strangers for a little while.
What does that mean?
Like, you talk to these people and you get to know them initially, and I'm not talking about, like, long relationships, but you kind of...
What is your relationship history?
Before you get into her troubled past, yeah. what is the pay for something like this?
It seems to range from people I've talked to. It goes anywhere from, like, say... $700 to like $2,000. I'm not talking mm-hmm. about like on the street corner.
No, I know. You work with a service.
No, I don't even work with a service.
You're by yourself.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you advertise?
I'm not going to get into that. There's tons of ways, like on the internet now.
Website, yeah.
Escort.
Yeah. I don't need a flyer, honey.
There's always disclaimers now.
Aren't you afraid that a cop's going to show up? And,
you know, yeah. And I've asked people about that, and that's not my issue. That's not what I'm calling about, but there are mm-hmm. ways that they protect themselves, so that's not my main issue.
Mm-hmm.
My main issue is, like, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, my troubled past is pretty troubled, so I'm thinking at this point, is it lucrative to go into this field and make the best of it, or...
Well, make the best of your troubled past.
You're going to be morally bankrupt. You may have some money
and
in your coffers.
You'll end up reenacting
it's
these traumas.
It's legal in some countries.
Lisa.
Oh, are you nutty?
Yeah, you'll end up reenacting these traumas and really setting them in stone.
Okay.
You will, whatever.
I'm already set in stone. I'm 31.
Yeah, the reality is, though, with people.
I'm not real hopeful.
Yeah, I understand. But people with things like borderline personality disorder, which I think is what you've got here, tend to actually get better in their fourth or fifth decade of life.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily get worse. The way to deal with that is to settle down and have a relationship.
My life didn't start till I was 31.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do whatever you want at 31. Not if you're looking at yourself as nothing more than a female who's getting long in the tooth because you're in your 30s. But if you look at yourself as a human being who might have something to offer
another person
right. outside of your sexuality...
Oh, well, no, I mean, I do think that. I mean, I'm educated. I don't think that I'm...
Yeah, but the guys are only... The guys will be hiring you only for your sexuality.
Well,
period.
That money will fund my lifestyle.
What?
That money will fund my lifestyle. It's my...
Once again, you seem to miss the whole human part
what
of all
lifestyle
this.
Do you have?
No, oh, no, I don't do drugs or anything like that. That's what you mean. No, I just mean the freedom to be able to do whatever I'd like to do.
All right, well, look, here's the thing, Lisa. You're calling, you're asking our advice, we're telling you our opinion, not because we're religious and not because we're uptight or sexually or anything like that. We happen to know that it doesn't work out...
the way you imagine it.
Emotionally for you. You will go in deeper, there'll be more shame. Something called a shame spiral is what engineer Chris went through when his mom caught him.
It's what he's anticipating.
The strap on. Yeah.
But yeah, that's in fact what happens. And then more pathology and more dysfunctional relationships. And then you get into the drugs and alcohol going.
Yeah, and here's the thing, everybody.
And where will you be? Let's think about it this way. Where are you going to be at 48? Where are you going to be? You still going to be doing this? No. You're going to be funding a lifestyle? You're going to be family, friends, any people that care about you as a human?
But we're not making moral or value judgments here. We're just saying what works and what doesn't work. It's the same conversation we have when people say we're married, we have three kids, we want to swing.
Yeah. Doesn't work.
It doesn't work. We're saying it's going to tear the family apart. We're not saying it because we're religious or we're uptight. If it worked, we'd be doing it. Oh, Drew. We'd be getting together this weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Bring the strap on. Bring the ladies. I'll bring the wine cooler.
Yeah, if these things work.
If these things work.
They don't work.
They don't work. And we're just telling you the prostitution thing just doesn't really work. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
All right, you make some money. It works that way. You fund your lifestyle. Lisa, you got a rap. You got to just drop your rap.
And by the way, well, she's BS. She BS's herself. But by the way, it's a threshold that once you go through, there ain't no coming back from either.
Yeah. Let me tell you, by the way, she was talking about cops and vice and all that kind of stuff.
You haven't discussed that one in a long time.
Well, my, you know, my wife and a few of her friends started up this club. This I shouldn't say this club, but they started up this
salon
where there's, you know, they give massages.
What's the name of the salon?
Cuticle pushes, and it's called Lush Spa.
Where is it?
Don't worry about it.
Come on,
it's in Studio City. Here's the point. They do this. They have everything: manicures, pedicures, whatever. Vice Squad came in. Oh, they busted them. They got questions. They're diligent about it. I mean, they want to know, and they don't just take in, poke around, or whatever. There's paperwork to fill out, whatever, because anything involving massage could be vice. But here's the whole thing about this city: not enough cops. Not enough cops. Unless you want to open a salon.
Yeah.
Then there's
a couple housewives
cops.
Open a salon.
A couple housewives open a salon.
Yeah.
Or, if God forbid, you're driving with no front license plate.
Oh, plenty of cops for that.
Plenty of cops. Yeah. Plenty of cops for the chicken ass. Yes?
Yes.
Not so many when it comes down to checking the containers that are coming in off the container ships, and NBC's, you know, bringing the spent uranium through downtown on a flatbed truck. We don't have enough guys to check into that. Not enough guys when you get your house robbed and you need a cop to come by. That's a 9-hour window there. Always short on those guys. Tons of guys for the let's pose as Asian businessman, get ourselves a BJ and bust Heidi Fleiss. Tons of those cops. Tons of the chicken-ass traffic violation cops. Tons of them. Not so many in the stuff we give a rat's ass about. That stuff, a little bit light in that department. Maybe we should work on, maybe we do have enough cops. Maybe we just have like a few too many of them doing the chicken ass and not enough doing the stuff that we want them to do. Yes?
Yes.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back.
All right.
Put that in. We'll take ourselves a little break. Angie from The Apprentice, our favorite show. And one of the few shows that Dr. Drew watches.
Few reality shows, yes. I do not like reality shows.
I like them quite a bit. And Drew enjoys this one, so he'll have plenty of questions for Angie, whose name he'll screw up tomorrow because he won't recognize her as one of the people from the show he loves. We'll take a little extended break. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.